I'm Harry, digital marketer by day, crypto enthusiast by night.
And I'm Mel, a new kid on the blockchain.
Join our convos breaking down the basics of digital assets so that you can understand the world of cryptocurrency.
Strap in for a wild ride into the cryptoverse. Hey guys, welcome to the first episode of Into the Cryptoverse. Again, I'm Mel, and with me is Harry, one of my friends and colleagues. This is the podcast about this interesting, wild world of cryptocurrency.
Right. Looking forward to you guys listening to us and, you know, learning as we learn more about cryptocurrency.
So, Harry, what's the show about? Like, we're not planning to give investment tips, right? Like, we're not forecasting anything.
If you're looking for investment advice, this show is definitely not it, right? Because, first of all, we're not financial professionals or financial advisors, right? This is more a show on the technology, the applications, I'd say, and the recent news, right? Like our first episode about NFTs.
Right. And also, I think one of the ethos of or advocacies of this show is to make it more crypto for the masses, because I really feel that sometimes crypto is just a boys club. And it's so technical and geeky sometimes that maybe like the common person won't really take interest. But I think that's where we come in, and we're going to try to break it down for people so that they can understand more and maybe dabble into investing in the future.
Yeah, right. Agree. I've been in this space since 2013. And, you know, there's since that time, it's always been an issue with all the terms, like, you know, all the slangs like mining and blockchain, right? So there's really a lot of like stuff that we should really contextualize for the masses to understand, right?
That's true. Here we go. First episode. And it is about NFTs. NFTs are hot and as of late dominate the news on a regular. But what exactly are they? Here's Quanta Creative's podcaster, commercial director, and NFT collector, Gio Puyat.
NFTs are very interesting and I think life-changing for everyone because they introduce the concept of digital ownership. This moment in time na sumisikat ng NFTs, nagiging para siyang turning point for us when our lives and the value of the things we do every day sort of migrate to an online world. Like I said, the concept of digital ownership is starting to be introduced to people na the value of your life online suddenly has a lot more weight. That suddenly means something, just like the blue check in Instagram, right?
But first, a textbook definition of NFTs. Harry?
NFT just means non-fungible token. It just means it's unique, and this is something that you could verify through this technology called the blockchain. So you could verify that it is unique, it's original, and you can verify the transfer of ownership of this token. This could either be an image, an audio file, or a video file.
But I just love how weird it is. It's so weird. Like, if you explain it to someone, di talaga nila magigets. Parang, gago ka ba? Parang JPEG lang. Pwede ko lang i-copy-paste yan, diba?
What is the difference between me saving or screenshotting a JPEG or whatever on my laptop and saving it on my laptop versus paying actual money for a quote-unquote digital asset for me to own?
Right, so in the art world, right, we could definitely print our own Mona Lisa, right, or make it your wallpaper, but that's definitely not the real Mona Lisa, right? So in the art world, they call that provenance, right, that transfer of ownership. It used to be like they would track this in some form of ledger as well, the ownership. It used to be behind the paintings they would sign. But now, through this public ledger, which is essentially what a blockchain is, it becomes decentralized, and essentially you're able to verify through this digital signature again the uniqueness and the transfer of ownership of these NFTs.
Every week there's a big NFT headline. Whenever you open Twitter, there's NBA Top Shots, as you said. Most recently, there's Warner Brothers announcing The Matrix and other Warner IP selling NFTs, and Quentin Tarantino is gonna also going to drop his NFTs. And then the first ever tweet sold for like how much? Harry, would you know?
The first ever tweet, I think it sold for about $2 million. It was Jack Dorsey's first tweet, the founder of Twitter.
And then locally, we have Heart Evangelista and her NFT announcement.
Ibinahagi ni Heart Evangelista na nakipagtulungan siya sa mga Filipino NFT creators.
Why is there so much hype around it?
I guess the hype really comes from the, you know, these big news ng mga artists that are making millions of dollars, right? And then when you look at the art, it, you know, it's sometimes so silly. Like you said, a tweet was sold, right, for millions of dollars. And you'll see these pixel art that's like going around and being used by profile pics of people. So if you think about it, it's just pixel art, itong CryptoPunks. But, you know, Visa actually bought one for like hundreds of thousands of dollars, right?
Oh my gosh. Is there like a record for the most expensive NFT ever sold so far?
That would be the Beeple art, BEEPLE. It sold for $69 million.
Creatives, I think, are empowered in this NFT space because there's no more middleman. There's no more record label. There's no more art gallery who is like needed to showcase your talents to the world. You know, if you're a creator who uploads NFTs, a lot of the proceeds could go to you in growing your art and whatever you love doing. It really could be a way for you to make a living off your passions.
Essentially, the artist is selling multiple copies of original art, right? Because it's like sometimes it's one of one, most of the time it's one of 1,000, one of 10,000. What is the appeal?
I guess that's up to you as an issuer, if you are issuing your art, of how many copies you would release, right? Like Team Manila's Rizal coin, I remember, I think they released only one of 10 or one of 15. So this I guess, is a play on rarity, how rare it is. Like we said, you could verify the uniqueness, right? So you could verify that this is just one of 10 or one of one. So if it's one of one, only one person can own it at a time, right?
How would you know it's authentic, the NFT that you're buying?
Well, one, anyone in the world can verify, because like we said, it's on a public ledger. At the same time, it would have to be verified by you as well that it was issued by the right person. For example, anyone in the world can pretend to be Heart Evangelista, go to the OpenSea platform and, you know, pretend that, you know, they can mint their own Heart Evangelista paintings, right? But, you know, you can see that Heart Evangelista actually posted about this on her Instagram and on Twitter. So yeah, that's one way to verify, right?
Most of the applications that we've seen are mostly art related, but are there everyday applications for NFTs, for non-fungible tokens?
You know, there's so many that comes to mind. Basically, anything that could be digitalized could be an NFT. So this could be any document. In the future, this could be our, you know, identification, like passports, licenses. I mean, this is speculative, but you know, it's very possible that in the future, you know, like car registration, any proof of ownership could be through NFTs. I was even thinking, you know, if diplomas were, you know, issued as NFTs, we won't have so many issues, right?
So could this be the end of affidavits of support, like the notary public?
Definitely, that's one strong application, and it would definitely get rid of a lot of middlemen, because like anything that you can put on a ledger and transfer ownership of, and any form of audio, video, or image or document could be an NFT.
For you, Harry, what are your advantages for having an NFT? Or what are the advantages of purchasing and owning an NFT?
So right now, it's mostly, you know, in the art, the applications are in the art world. So, you know, one advantage is, first, you know that you are the owner if you do buy it. Another advantage would be, of course, the speculative aspect of it. A lot of hype is going into it because people are making a lot of money. I think that's why it's so popular right now. But, you know, there could be use cases where it doesn't have to be all about just making a lot of money. For example, with, you know, if it's not art, for example, like NBA Top Shots or, you know, Hybe recently announced, right, the BTS NFTs that BTS would be launching or some other artist of theirs.
So from art to gaming to even pop culture, there's money being made. Crypto enthusiast, NFT collector, and Star Wars fan Yosu de Erquiaga gives his 2 cents.
I definitely think there's so much good that can come out of it. You see people making a living off of late-earned games like Axie, discovering investments in art and whatnot. So there's just a lot that has, you know, a lot of good going on for many people. But, you know, the bad side of things, as with anything new, people are getting scammed left and right as well. And people are discovering new ways to scam people.
Is it a scam?
I would say like 99% of what's out there right now would probably be, like, not necessarily like outright scams, but I think it comes with the territory that when you democratize something and anyone can issue and mint and start, you know, becoming an artist, you know, like you said, a tweet was sold for millions of dollars. So if you're looking to invest and you think that in the future someone else will buy that tweet for a higher price, then good for you. But that's highly speculative, right?
So you're saying, and this is what I'm getting, is that NFT isn't like some sort of instant gratification purchase. Hindi siya like, you'll buy it, tapos kikita ka na. It's like buying real art na you'll take a chance. If the artist is kilala, you'll make money if you resell it.
Right. Or if you're just a fan, you might not want to resell it. What if you're a collector? This proof of ownership is much stronger because, you know, paintings can be counterfeited, right? Or there are fakes out there. But with this technology, you could actually verify ownership.
A pool is an attraction to get wealth in like a quick and easy way. But I think for most people, it will help people slowly and steadily accumulate wealth, like accumulate valuable assets that will help them in the future.
If there are so many good things about NFTs, namely like authentic ownership, digital ownership, the potential to generate generational wealth, kumbaga, with a digital asset, what are people's apprehensions about NFTs? Listen to this artist friend of mine, who shall remain anonymous, to present the other side of the crypto coin, just for a little balance.
It's not exactly I hold at a high pedestal. It's all in the air, or as some would say, it's in the ether. It's not tangible, it's just a bunch of expensive pixels. And I don't trust it.
Fine, they're so abstract. Kasi sanay tayo sa physical art or physical merchandise or physical ownership of things.
So there are platforms out there like OpenSea or Rarible where you could essentially just, you know, upload your art and you would mint it through that platform. So what does that mean? Basically, you will use some cryptocurrency. So there are transaction fees that will go through this process. So that this image of yours that you are issuing becomes an NFT that is on that public ledger that I've been talking about.
How can I use for example, let's say I bought Heart Evangelista's art, right? Her NFT art. What can I do with it?
Well, like most people, what they're doing is they're basically using it as their profile pic. That's one use case. Again, it would be stored in your non-custodial wallet. It would be on your OpenSea profile. So not much use case except you're holding it and you're probably holding it to collect or to speculate on a future sale, right?
Can I print it? Do I quote unquote own the IP enough for me to reproduce the thing into t-shirts, mugs, posters?
No, it's the same as like owning, if you own like a painting, you can't really print it on a shirt and start selling it. So like with NBA Top Shots, you can't just, you know, start buying a bunch of slam dunks of NBA players and then print it as t-shirts. You can't do that.
Essentially, what gives NFTs value, I feel, is bragging rights. right now.
That's right. One of it is bragging rights. Another is, you know, there is a marketplace where people are speculating. So there is that as well. And, you know, a lot of it would also be, I think, if you're really a fan of NBA, you would want to have these collectibles, right?
I think I saw a picture of an NBA player with wearing basketball shoes on the court with an NFT. I think it was a Bored Ape printed on his shoes, but that's probably going to be a future application once all the legalities are ironed out, no?
I guess it would also depend on the artists, right? On how they do it. For example, like with these people using it as their profile pics, right? That wasn't really an intended. It just emerged in the marketplace, right? It just happened. People started using it as their Twitter profile pic.
What do you think is the biggest misconception about non-fungible tokens right now?
I think the biggest is that you can just, people think that you can just save a JPEG. Like, why would I buy one, right? It's, you know, I can just make it my wallpaper, right? We're so used to JPEGs, and we're so used to the fungibility of things that, you know, NFT is introducing something very, very new.
Cryptocurrency and NFTs as a whole, they're very volatile in nature. One minute it's worth thousands of dollars, and then the next minute it can just drop to just hundreds or less. Unlike tangible art, it can grow its worth in time. So your value as an artist also grows. But NFTs are something you cannot guarantee its growth and stability.
Not all artists obviously succeed in selling their NFTs for millions of dollars. Parang these are like unicorns to me nga eh. Na you'll just hear the good news. But a lot of the times, artists fail to sell successfully or fail to sell with a monetary value in their head, like $1,000, diba parang ganon. Is this normal? Is this part of the industry?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of hype. People who get to succeed here are those that are able to hype their artworks. There was a bunch of people in the news recently that they burned an original copy. They bought a painting for like $100 million. They burned it. They live streamed burning it on YouTube, and then essentially flipped the NFT and sold it for $300 million.
What?
Some, if not all, NFTs are comprised of bad art just with savvy marketing and hype. And let's face it, I've checked out some of the NFT platforms, and it would surprise me every time the amount of bad art that gets purchased, and at a ridiculously high price too.
They have this thing called the acting like a degenerate or like a degen, which is kind of funny because you just throw money at something without doing proper research, and you just go in a project or a crypto because of FOMO. And that's not the good side of it. I guess that's the unhealthy part of it, where you could actually lose a lot of money.
How would you know, though, that what are good purchases and what are bad purchases? I know people always say, do your research, but what does good research mean or look like?
It's very volatile, right? The price of cryptocurrency in itself that you're using to buy this is very volatile. It could go up and down midway of the NFT being transferred to your wallet. So that's the research part, I think, is the storage and the volatility of the market. But when it comes to art, you know, I think it's really up to you if you think that someone would, like a tweet, right? Would someone buy that in the future?
I would buy my own tweet in the future. I would mint my first tweet also, because I'm going to be rich and famous. No, just kidding. You mentioned earlier, one of the huge news last week was HYBE, or if you guys don't know, it's BTS's big company, HYBE. They announced in their stockholders meeting that although they didn't say the words NFTs, Big Boss, Mama Bang, PD announced that in the near future, BTS will be selling digital assets or digital photo cards to the army or to their fans.
Fans of BTS will soon be able to enjoy more digital content. According to the group's management agency, HYBE, it will work with the country's largest cryptocurrency operator, Dunamu, to do business related to non-fungible tokens. This will include any type of digital content where the ownership can be purchased.
Usually when HYBE has updates or announces a new drop or offer, they would always be met with 100% all-out support from BTS's fans. But this time around, I was really quite surprised to read a lot of, you know, negative reactions from the BTS army.
I am surprised why HYBE, of all agencies, would want to dabble into that venture, knowing fully well their biggest talents are promoting sustainability, green energy, caring for the planet, and all that jazz. And it's pretty telling that they decided to jump on this venture that would allow them to make instant cash. So it's an instant cash grab, knowing fully well that there would be rich armies who would take the bait, especially those who are not so familiar on how cryptocurrency and NFTs work. They could be blinded by greed at this point, not BTS, but maybe HYBE. And I sincerely think they should backtrack and rethink about their decision in joining the NFT game.
I feel like some of them naman are have reasonable apprehensions with NFTs, namely the environment, carbon footprint, cash grab, ganyan-ganyan. But Harry, what do you think about this?
The environment, the case for Bitcoin, specifically Bitcoin and blockchain technologies being bad for the environment is definitely a valid concern. But this comes with anything productive in society requires the consumption of energy, right? And use of resources. Very recently, mining of Bitcoins, which is what consumes energy, right? All these machines that you see that computes for the next block. Basically, this was banned from China, and the reason a lot of mining was in China was because electricity was cheaper there. So the miners had an incentive to do mining there. It was because they used like coal as a source of energy, right? So it's much cheaper there. Plus they have subsidies. But because it's banned now in China, a lot of mining has now transferred back to the US. If we were to say that yes, it does have an impact to the environment, you know, we've seen the same concern when personal computers came out, right? Or the internet. And I think what ideally blockchains could replace is, you know, parang it outweighs the harm, right? And if anything, this is just a symptom of a much bigger issue, like of how we don't use sustainable sources of energy yet.
As a K-pop fan, I did a little soul searching and realized that cash grab, well, I guess every official boodle at this point, whether it's an album, t-shirt, Blu-ray, even virtual concert, is a cash grab, right? And that the normal K-pop fan's merch haul probably has a pretty high carbon footprint count as well. Think about it, the trees that were cut to make photo cards or posters and packaging, the electricity used to manufacture merch, the plastic to wrap the items in, and even down to the gas burned to distribute and deliver all of these physical commodities. Maybe ultimately, digital is the way to go.
You know, we saw the same thing, the same concerns with the internet or personal computing or smartphones, right? You know, to have smartphones and to listen to this podcast right now, that requires people to literally mine, as in, you know, mine for like precious metals, right? And whatever's in our smartphone.
I remember when the smartphone with a camera came out back in the day, because I do remember life without smartphones with cameras. And people were saying that pretty soon the smartphone was going to replace your camera. And I was so resistant, like, no, I'm never going to throw away my point and shoot, my SLR. But here I am. I have my cameras rotting in my closet and I just take pictures with my smartphone. And I guess we just have to wait and see how this is all going to play out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, HYBE is definitely like a super smart company, right? Their artist BTS is so global. You know, you're a fan. And, you know, they've definitely thought of this. And I think there's more to it, possibly, than just collecting digital photo cards. Because, again, we can verify the uniqueness and verify ownership. So, you know, they could offer essentially exclusive content or possibly other kinds of rewards to the owners of these digital photo cards, right?
Do you think in the future an application of an NFT for, like, example, BTS or whatever, like a band like the Eraserheads, can it be like aring backstage passes kaya?
Basically, you know how a lot of crypto uses QR codes as well. So basically, this image or video is actually an address on the blockchain. There's a unique address, which is just a bunch of numbers and letters. And you can turn that into a QR code. And, you know, like you said, it could be a backstage pass or access to a concert that, you know, people would just have to scan.
But Harry, what is the future? What do you think the future is like with NFTs? Like, it's going, will it evolve into like wearable stuff, displayable stuff? Can I project an NFT to my wall in the next 5 years and it'll be of value?
This is just the beginning. Like, we haven't even explored like the audio or video side of it. A lot of it is still just art. And I think this is just the beginning. There's so much more that will emerge from this. Like, you know, some things that I alluded to, like proof of ownership or governance, right? Or documents or, you know, pag notario, right? A lot of these things could be, or diplomas for that matter. A lot of these things could be replaced or, if anything, be helped by NFT technology.
We are in the dial-up stage of crypto, I feel. And it's going to speed up in probably the next decade or even less.
Yeah, we're in the early stage of the internet. It's very reminiscent of that, actually. You know, layers are still being built, right, to make these things faster and cheaper and so that more people can use it. Because like I said, right now, if you're an artist or you're a fan or a buyer of our art, it will take so much research before you could actually proceed with this.
Technology doesn't have to be either just good or bad. I mean, there's a lot of gray area with a lot of new things like NFTs. But overall, I think it's an innovation that will benefit humanity, you know? It will really change the way our lives run through this technology. I think it's going to be something closer to, you know, a digital world. I don't know if it's going to be the metaverse, that's what Facebook is pushing. And that does seem like sci-fi, but if you really think about it, what's so different about being on Zoom calls for the whole day? And isn't that kind of how work is already because of the pandemic? We're, you know, we're in front of our laptops all day getting real shit done, but we're just talking to like faces on a screen. Why is it so hard to believe that we could be doing all these transactions, these meetings, like in a digital world with digital currencies and like meeting someone in digital land, like someone's house, you know? What if you could walk into someone's digital house and see all their art NFTs displayed, you know?
If you want to follow me or Harry on our socials, you can be found on Twitter at Mel_Alcaraz. And on IG with the same handle. Harry, where can people find you?
Harry Initiative on Twitter and Instagram.
Once again, we are not giving financial advice in this podcast. We are merely giving you guys information, the tools, the research to start your own crypto journey. And watch out for future episodes where we'll interview and invite more people to talk about their passions for crypto. Again, I'm Mel.
And I'm Harry.
Thank you for joining us in the Cryptoverse.